Franzen. After Israel's prime minister canceled a delegation trip to the U.S. to discuss alternatives to military operations in Rafah, U.S. officials say that meeting is back on. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
The prime minister's office has agreed to reschedule the meeting dedicated to Rafah. So we're now working with them to find a convenient date that's obviously going to work for both sides.
Israel's prime minister called off the delegation visit in response to the U.S. abstaining from a U.N. Security Council vote calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. In Baltimore, crews have shifted to recovery at that collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge site. Six workers on that span when the container ship slammed into a support pylon, now presumed dead. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg says they're working to rebuild the bridge and reopen the port as soon as possible. Winter storms sweeping across the Upper Plains. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin and other large dairy-producing states are keeping an eye on reports of bird flu in dairy cows in Texas and Kansas. State veterinarian Darlene Conkle says milk from sick cows does not go into the food supply. Independent and third-party voters could play spoiler in Wisconsin in the presidential election. That's what political scientist Charles Franklin tells Wisconsin Eye.
Those folks are going to likely be late making up their minds, may or may not vote. And so in a very close election,
could turn
a position to tilt the election in the fall.
Meanwhile, 20 elected officials around Wisconsin are urging Democrats to vote uninstructed in Tuesday's primary to protest President Biden's support of Israel's war in Gaza. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home. This is news from WMDX Madison. Wisconsin utility companies and the state's building trade union say they plan to develop more clean energy infrastructure. Alliant Energy, Madison Gas and Electric, and other large power companies say they plan to build more solar farms, wind turbines, and battery storage facilities with the help of local union construction workers. Dean Miller with the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers says the projects will create about 19,000 construction jobs. Plans to redevelop State Street's historic 400 block are thwarted again. The Madison Plan Commission this week voted 5-3 to stop the demolition of three buildings that used to house B-Side Records and Freedom Skate Shop. Developer J.D. McCormick wants to build a six-story apartment building with first-floor commercial space. The Plan Commission rejected the same proposal a year ago, and McCormick came back without making any changes. And that's what you need to know. This is WMDX News.
Darcy Haber, I hear you have solar panels on your office building. Since when are real estate brokers so concerned about the environment?
True, you should know that at Solidarity Realty, we provide outstanding real estate service while adhering to our core progressive values. Environmental sustainability is a big part of that.
So you really walk your talk, huh?
Yeah, I even walk to work.
Come on, always?
Well, sometimes I bike, and if I have an appointment across town, I use my solar panels to charge my plug-in.
Solidarity Realty. They're real, they're solid, and they're honest. Check them out at SolidarityRealty.com.
Are the Packers headed to Brazil? Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The NFL is considering sending either the Packers or the Browns to Brazil for the season opener against the Eagles. When will they find out? Mark Murphy.
I anticipate probably within the week we'll find out. So it's either us or Cleveland.
NBA, the Bucks had a 19-point lead at home in the fourth quarter, but lost to the Lakers, 128-124 in double overtime. Bucks head coach Doc Rivers.
We didn't trust the pass tonight. You know, we get away with it some nights because guys make shots, but we lost our trust. Not that concerned by it, but it will scream off the tape.
College basketball, AJ Storr says he's leaving the Badgers and turning pro, eligible for the upcoming NBA draft. Are more players leaving the Badgers program?
Mike, I don't know. They don't know. We see the world we're in, you know, and there'll be other options, I'm sure. What other, you know, if guys want to test the waters in the draft or get feedback.
That's Badgers head basketball coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly sunny and cooler today as high temperatures struggle to hit 40. Winds are still a bit breezy, making us feel just a touch cooler as tonight we do crash cold to the teens. But for tomorrow, a bright and beautiful day nearing 50. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 37 degrees at our studios.
This is Chad Spate for Chad's Design Build. We're proud to employ some of the best carpenters and remodeling professionals in our industry. Are you honest and hardworking? Do you love to improve people's lives by improving their homes? Chad's Design Build offers excellent compensation and benefits focused on outstanding customer service, professional design, construction management, and craftsmanship, all in a nurturing, positive workplace. Whether you're thinking about remodeling your home or considering joining our team, go to chadsdesignbuild.com to learn more.
Hey everybody, Todd Allbaugh. Noon to 2 on Thursday, we'll be live at Richland Center to talk to a local group of Making a Difference on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Broadcasting from Civic Media Global Headquarters on State Street, this is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Wednesday edition. It feels like we've gotten to the hump in the week, an important milestone. Dom will join us at 4 o'clock today, as is his custom. And I got a fun guest joining way before that, Dr. Harvey Kay, the incomparable Dr. Harvey Kay, fresh off advising the Marianne Williamson campaign. Apparently, she is resuspended, so Harvey's available, and he's going to join me at 3:30. We're going to hold him over to the happy hour at 4. And, you know, let Dom take a crack at our buddy, Dr. Harvey Kay. Tomorrow on the big show, I should look ahead. I've been booking ahead. We've got Mark Pocan, my congressman. Always a great day when Mark Pocan is in the district. I'm not sure if he's coming into the studio, but he will be somewhere in Madison. And we'll interview him tomorrow on the big show, about 4 o'clock Central Time. So please make a note of that. And also coming up on Friday, Pete Schwabba, my buddy Pete Schwabba. He is the host of the Nightlight Show. Comes on each and every evening right here on WMDX 92.7 FM. Pete Schwabba joining me on Friday. We're going to, you know, tell you what you should watch over the course of the weekend. He's more of an entertainment guy, and it's Friday, so we'll lighten it up a little bit on Friday with Pete Schwabba. And then next week, back to the political hurricane. Monday, I have just confirmed, CNN coming in to interview yours truly, Crudy getting interviewed by CNN. I'm glad somebody's listening. I'm a little embarrassed to say the topic of the conversation, this national attention focused on yours truly, RFK Jr. I'm like, what? Come on, man. I got to talk about RFK Jr. in the state of Wisconsin. That is the topic you chose. And apparently I bit the other day. I was talking about it, and someone at CNN found the tape or listened in real time. Who knows? Maybe streaming on the civicmedia.us app. But CNN coming on Monday in studio, and of course, Donald Trump coming Tuesday. We talked too much about that. My wife chastised me. Do you really have to talk about Donald Trump coming to Wisconsin that much? Nobody wants to see him. I'm thinking some do, just no one that, you know, is of sound mind or body. But here's where I want to start the political conversation today. And Rich, how you doing, fella? Off air, he tells me, fantastic.
Good thing he didn't say effing fantastic, you know, because occasionally I'm greeted that way. The front page, or at least I think it should be. Dan Bice often finds himself back on page six of the Journal Sentinel, if you know what I'm saying. But today's story, I find it intriguing. Pot versus kettle calling black. I confuse the headline. I feel like Yoda talking here. Justice Rebecca Bradley rips her opponent's partisan activity while defending her own. According to the headline, Daniel Bice. We know Dan. For the state Supreme Court Justice, Rebecca Bradley. And if you're unaware, she's the bad Bradley. Partisanship is just fine for me, but not for thee. In a December 22 dissent, Bradley accused four members of the High Court's new liberal majority of being handmaidens of the Democratic Party who deliver spoils to Democrats and trample the rule of law. As Bice writes, youch! Bradley was especially, and again, this is the bad Bradley, was especially upset that Justice Janet Protasiewicz's campaign had accepted nearly $10 million from the Democratic Party in last year's spring election, and then voted to overturn Republican-favored legislative maps. Protasiewicz's victory gave liberals a one-vote majority for the first time in more than a decade. I know, I've been doing this for more than a decade. But it turns out Bradley, one of the three conservatives on the bench, was involved in her own partisan political activity just weeks earlier. Oh, this is a shocker, is it not? On December 5th, Bradley sworn four leaders of the Republican Women of Waukesha County. Here was the pledge, according to a video that was made of the private event this week. By accepting this post, do you promise to exert every effort to conduct federation activities that will attract women in your community who believe in the Republican Party? I want to make sure I quote bad Bradley correctly here, and its principles in electing Republicans to all level of government. Now, that's what Bradley asked the female leaders, according to the video as mentioned. Electing Republicans to all level of government, Dan Bice questions. The four women all pledged they would. This, however, was just not another GOP group. The Republican Women of Waukesha County once gave a standing ovation to the mother of Kyle Rittenhouse. You remember Rittenhouse, don't you? The shooter, the Kenosha shooter, killed two. But he got away with it. So, you know, he's been completely vindicated. I did see he got booed off the stage by some young student activist at the University of Memphis the other day. You know, I grinned a little because I'm just that sort of guy. But this group of women, the Republican Women of Waukesha County, once gave a standing ovation to the mother of Kyle Rittenhouse. That's some fine parenting. Didn't she drive the kid up to Wisconsin? Anyways, Rittenhouse, who was acquitted of killing two men, wounding another, and endangering two more in a series of shootings during a night of protest in Kenosha in 2020. The president of the group, Alexandria Schweitzer, also gained widespread attention nearly a year ago for bringing sex toys as props to a Merton school board meeting. I like to leave the marital aids at home. Don't bring them to the school board meetings. Not even to try and make a point. As Dan Bice continues here at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and the featured speaker at one of the group's 2022 events was conservative influencer Brandon Straka, who previously pled guilty to one misdemeanor count of engaging in disorderly and disruptive conduct after being part of the mob of rioters outside the Capitol on January 6, 2021. You get the idea? Again, this is Dan Bice writing. Still, justices and judicial candidates of all political stripes go to party events while running for office. But Bradley was taking this step further by participating in ministerial functions of an overtly partisan political organization by speaking to them and swearing in its officers. Former state Supreme Court Justice Jeanine Jeske said she would never have performed this task during her time on the bench, especially when justices were hearing and deciding cases. After the election was over, I just stayed away from both parties completely, Jeske said, because I didn't think it was appropriate as a nonpartisan judge to do that. These days, many people view the Supreme Court justices through partisan lenses, Jeske said. For this reason, she said, the members of the High Court should avoid political entanglements with either party, particularly when the court is in session. Yeah, that should matter. Here's a quote from Jeske, the former Supreme Court justice in Wisconsin. It would seem to me imperative that each one of those justices stay away from the political parties in any way so that it doesn't really emphasize the fact that people are attached to political parties. But Bradley, this again, the bad Bradley, the conservative Bradley, the what, do as I say, not as I do Bradley, said she saw nothing wrong with her actions. The Protasewicz, that's a problem over there. In fact, she said, it was an honor to swear in community volunteers to various organizations, no matter their party. She said in the past, she has accepted donations from the state GOP and the party's billionaire supporters, Diane Hendricks and Richard Uihlein. Oh, I bet she did. Here is a quote. Supreme Court justices regularly administer the oath of office to both Democrats and Republicans, as well as school board members. Bad Bradley said in an email, equating this ceremonial service with Janet Protasewicz manipulating the law to rule in favor of the Democratic Party after receiving a $10 million campaign contribution, once again displays your liberal bias. I mean, what is your bias then? What is your bias? You know, you could be one of the dark money voices in the campaign ads. That's why I did the voice like that. You know, just to give you an example. Still not over that, apparently, says Dan Weiss. But can you really equate swearing in leaders to a group like the Republican Women of Waukesha County with doing the same for members of, you know, let's call it a local school board? Chris Wallach, executive director of the liberal group, A Better Wisconsin Together, said there's a big difference. Justices swear in public officials like legislators and school board members who are nonpartisan because those public offices are required by law to take an oath of office, he noted. That's not what Rebecca Bradley was doing here, Wallach said. She was encouraging partisan private citizens to elect more MAGA Republicans like herself, even if they're elected to supposedly nonpartisan offices. Note Dan Weiss. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. The Hump Day Edition. We're halfway home. Well, not in this show. We got lots more of this show. We got fine guests coming soon. Dr. Harvey Kay, I hope you're going to stick around for him. Also, my little buddy Dominic, he's coming. He'll be here. You know what it's like. A little late to the party each and every day. He joins at 4. And you can join right now. You can be a part. Phone lines, they're open. They're toll free. 844-967-2789. I hope it's a whopper, but Wednesday edition. Stick around. I know it will be.
Listening to Matt Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Hi, I'm Mike Kroot, and I've signed my share of commercial real estate leases. In Madison, I highly recommend Jeff Jansen from Altus Commercial Real Estate. Jeff guided me to my first radio station location on the west side. He helped us move to University Ave, and eventually Jeff set up the lease on the Civic Media World headquarters. No one works harder to provide options in commercial leasing. Call Jeff Jansen and his team at Altus Commercial Real Estate at 608-338-1101.
The John and Gordy Show. People don't realize there used to be radio schools.
It was a night school. Uh-huh. And my very first day, I walk up the stairs and there in the lobby is my instructor. He's laying on the couch, his arm over his head, and he's going, "Oh my God, I wish I had gotten into real estate." That was the encouragement I got right away.
Weekday mornings, 6 until 8 on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lobel Show.
Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Glad you joined the political party this fine Wednesday afternoon here in Madison. Going to get a little warmer out there, I hope. I'm hoping spring's on the way. The election coming up just, what, 6 short days. April 2nd, and a wake-up. Donald Trump coming to town that day. I'll try not to talk about it too much. My wife chastised me. And CNN coming to see me. I'm going to brag a little because CNN doesn't come to see Crudy each and every day. That's a rare occurrence. It's been a few years, so I look forward to being interviewed and being part of their Tuesday evening and apparently Wednesday morning coverage from the great state of Wisconsin. We'll tell you more. We'll share the details. I feel quite confident. But the bad Bradley out there, she's calling Janet Protase what's a partisan, but she is more than willing to participate in the installation of these Waukesha wackadoos, I'm going to call them, these women of Waukesha, these very partisan MAGA Republicans. Very partisan act, but she doesn't see it that way when she looks in the mirror. 844-967-2789. Bob from Madison, you're first today. Bob, welcome. What do you got for us?
Well, I've finally discovered the reason the right wing has been so crazy about this abortion issue for 50 years. They needed a religious issue of some kind. And guess what? Angels on the head of a pin was no longer available.
Hmm. Interesting comment, Bob. 844-967-2789 if you'd like to join the show. You got to let them screen you and move on. But I want to point out, RNC coming to Milwaukee, and we got our buddy Dr. Harvey K. He's coming soon, 3:30 he joins. But the RNC is now headed up by Trump's daughter-in-law, Laura Trump. And I'm not saying that there is a brilliant Trump, but even by marriage, I mean, the fact that she married Eric, she found this man acceptable in some way, shape, or form, enough to accept his hand in matrimony. And I mean, I know he's what, the son of a supposedly rich man. But I've seen her out there singing, auto-tuned. I mean, she won't back down. And she was questioned today, and I did see some of this earlier, so that's why I think I'll share it with you. The RNC coming to town this summer. Milwaukee, right? The town specifically. I believe that's July 15th through 18th. And Laura Trump's going to be presiding, in part, co-chairing this big party coming to Milwaukee. And if you'll recall, last time they had this political party, this convention, Republicans didn't bother to put forth a platform. They didn't need one. Whatever Trump says, that's our platform. Well, now that his daughter-in-law is in charge, what can we expect now? Allison Durr at the Journal Sentinel reports the Republican Party may return this year to adopting a position platform after not taking a step at its convention 4 years ago, you know, breaking more than 100 years of tradition. Tradition! Laura Trump, now the new co-chair of the Republican National Committee and daughter-in-law of former President Donald Trump, told the Journal Sentinel she expected a return to the party platform in 2024 when the Republican National Convention is held in Milwaukee. If you want to call it a common sense platform, perhaps that would be a good way to go. Yes, that might be a good way to go. But I don't see your party putting forth a common sense, let's just call it, platform. She noted that the organizers are still in the planning process, but when asked directly if the party platform would return in 2024, she said, "Yeah, I think so." Aren't you in charge? Don't you have some say in that outcome? Well, of course, the old man, your father-in-law, has most of the say. Now, in 2020, delegates at the Republican National Convention did not adopt a new party platform with a Republican National Committee resolution citing, you know, the significantly scaled back size and scope of the convention in the coronavirus pandemic. The RNC has unanimously voted to forgo, although they spelled it wrong, the convention committee on platform in appreciation of the fact that we did not want a small contingent of delegates formulating a new platform without the breadth of perspectives within the ever-growing Republican movement. It's hard for me to even read that statement aloud, you know, because it's hard. Had the committee been able to convene, it would have undoubtedly unanimously agreed to reassert the party's strong support for President Donald Trump and his administration, stated the one-page resolution that preceded the 66-page 2016 platform. Here was our platform 4 years ago. It was good enough then. It's good enough now. Well, now here in 2024, what would they change about it? What evolution has this Republican Party made? Same guy, same nominee, same allegations, except now they're criminal. What's the change in platform you're expecting? More respect for women? Please, I'd like to take you seriously, Republicans, but that's getting really hard. 844-967-2789. We'll sneak one more caller in before our pal, Dr. Harvey Kaye, professor emeritus. He's kind of a big shot, just like you, Jack from Merrimack. Welcome back. What do you got for us?
The platform of the current Republican Party, which has been published by the Heritage Foundation, it's called Project 2025, and it is essentially a fascist takeover of the entire government of the United States of America. Many have already got the Supreme Court anyway, they're just going to go farther. They're going to wipe out the civil service system and put in lackeys. They're going to wipe out the Justice Department and put in lackeys. They're going to destroy the EPA. They're just going to dump it, I think. Same with Department of Education. Basically, they're going to re-educate everybody so they don't need a Department of Education. I mean, these guys, this is crazy. Anybody that even considers voting for Trump, that's what you're going to get if he gets in, and you better be aware of it. Most of the people that one person that I heard that said, if I wanted to live in a democracy, I wouldn't be voting for Trump. Most of those people have no idea what it's like to live under a dictatorship. I've been there. I've lived under it, but I have been in countries for as much as 6 weeks where they were living under a dictatorship. Let me tell you, it's not a real good situation.
What's the biggest difference, Jack? Because I don't have any personal experience in a dictatorship, not even for 6 minutes. What is the biggest difference? What is the tone difference with the people?
Well, one of the things is that people in particular always looking over their shoulder. Am I saying the right thing? Am I making the right decisions? Because if you're not, you can be arrested with no particular reason for it at all, other than you said the wrong thing at the wrong time. That's just one of the things.
Jack, appreciate your call. Short on time. I got to tell you, without the freedom of the press, freedom of speech, the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, I got to think I'd be in big trouble. I don't think I would survive well under the new Trump administration, should that come to pass. So let's not let that come to pass. How could we? We owe it to ourselves. We owe it to freedom of speech and democracy and all the important things. Kids, grandkids, future generations. Let's keep democracy for them. Let's not vote for Trump. Come back, more Devil's Advocates. My good friend Dr. Harvey Kaye joins us next.
This is Chad Spate. Sometimes I'm overwhelmed by the hatred and misinformation that consumes our world, but I also know that we cannot build a house of justice and inclusion on a foundation of hatred and lies. We have to practice what we preach. At Chance Design Build, we confront injustice the same way we confront a poorly built home, with love, compassion, intelligence, and persistence. We engage our community the way we engage our clients, with honesty and humility and the dogged determination that we can do better. Chance Design Build, remodeling done well with love.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The growing season hasn't even begun, and yet our Wisconsin apple producers already facing issues. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. What kind of issues are they facing? Well, I've got those notes next.
Can you predict the future? I can't. That's why when I'm planting soybeans, I treat with Heads Up seed treatment. With more than 15 years of research, Heads Up offers proven protection against both white mold and sudden death syndrome. So no matter what the year throws at you, you've already taken that first step to be prepared. Don't let your beans suffer from disease when they're just starting to look their best. Tell your seed dealer you need Heads Up seed treatment. Learn more at headsupst.com.
From insects to this above-average warmer winter we've experienced, it's all got our Wisconsin apple growers concerned. One of them, Steve Lewis. He's the owner and operator of Oakwood Fruit Farm in Richland Center. He says his tree broke buds about 2 weeks ago. It's the earliest he ever remembers them coming out of dormancy. And now he says he's worried about water.
You know, we battled the drought conditions as bad a conditions that I've ever seen in the last 30 years. Really from last April all the way through, into the fall was terrible. We're still incredibly dry. We've missed a lot of the snows this winter. And in the last 3 weeks, the rains that, a lot of people have gotten around us here, we've maybe gotten a half to three quarter inch total in those three storms. So we're really, really lacking in moisture.
Steve Lewis, owner and operator of Oakwood Fruit Farms in Richland Center, said aside from dry weather, they're also monitoring the 17-year hatch of the cicada insects in Wisconsin. He says his fruit farm is right in the epicenter of their population, and he said it could potentially be very damaging to his crop. He said cicadas are one of those insects that do a lot of damage and are very difficult to control.
With over 60 years of experience in the auction business, Steffes Group is the trusted source for buying high-quality equipment. From farm and construction equipment to transportation and land, Steffes Group auctions feature a diverse selection of assets for whatever your needs may be. Bid with confidence, knowing that Steffes Group's team of professionals prioritize honesty, integrity, and outstanding service. Visit steffesgroup.com to view their upcoming auctions and start bidding on the equipment you need today.
And state authorities are encouraging stronger biosecurity measures on our Wisconsin farms today. That's after a mysterious disease outbreak was identified in Texas, New Mexico, and Kansas. It was a highly pathogenic avian influenza strain that impacted dairy farms there. Now, so far, Wisconsin has not made any changes to import requirements for cattle from any of those states, but state officials say take care of business when it comes to biosecurity. That's a look at food news on a Wednesday. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Partly sunny and cooler today as high temperatures struggle to hit 40. Winds are still a bit breezy, making us feel just a touch cooler as tonight we do crash cold to the teens. But for tomorrow, a bright and beautiful day nearing 50. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 37 degrees at our studios.
Hi, I'm Mike Fruit, and I've signed my share of commercial real estate leases. In Madison, I highly recommend Jeff Jansen from Altus Commercial Real Estate. Jeff guided me to my first radio station location on the west side. He helped us move to University Ave, and eventually Jeff set up the lease at the Civic Media World headquarters. No one works harder to provide options in commercial leasing. Call Jeff Jansen and his team at Altus Commercial Real Estate at 608-338-1101.
On air at 92.7 megahertz frequency modulation and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Wednesday edition. It's getting better right now because I've been joined by a good friend. He is Dr. Harvey Kay. He is Professor Emeritus, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. He joins me live via video link, I guess. Harvey, welcome back to the big show, man. How you been?
I've been okay. Before we talk, and I'm eager to talk to you, David, does it ever occur to you that the producer says I'm going to kill the mics now?
Yeah, chokes them off. Puts them out the pasture, sends them off to the farm.
I hope you don't take that personally when he says that.
I do not. Good. I occasionally utilize violent language in my own discussions off air. Never about anyone in particular, Harvey. Let me ask you, my friend, you've been doing some political work. You, as I understand it, were an unpaid advisor to the Marianne Williamson campaign. What were you doing for Marianne, the Democratic candidate that's now suspended?
Yeah. Okay. So 2 years ago, I'll just say 2 years ago, Marianne contacted me because she was very interested in having me join her on her podcast. And she wanted to talk about FDR, Franklin Roosevelt, especially in terms of the New Deal. That was primary. But beyond that as well, because she ended up calling me to do yet a second one on the question of how FDR would handle inflation. Keep in mind, this is almost 2 years ago. And then afterwards, she and I got in a series of conversations, and she was eager to know whether or not I thought she should make a run for the presidency again. And I said to her that I really did believe that people should hear what she had to say, because as I understood it, she was definitely wanting to advance an FDR-like agenda. And I did say to her at the time that if Bernie should enter the race, that I would not publicly endorse her. I was still with Bernie. Well, Bernie never did, but in our ensuing conversations, and she came out to Wisconsin one time to talk and also to talk here at the university, she told me she was particularly interested in my helping her, advising her in terms of FDR, and especially, and this will ring a bell with you, regarding FDR's call for in 1944 for an economic bill of rights for all Americans. So for a good year, I helped with her speech writing. I helped her launch the campaign. I helped her give a speech at the National Press Club on a 21st century economic bill of rights. So basically it was ideas, history and politics and ideas, and also encouraging her in terms of how she addressed crowds that might be more often, you know, working people as opposed to the audiences that for maybe 20 years she spoke to as a spiritual leader. And I had made it clear to her that I was not very interested in spirituality. In fact, I told her that I rarely ever, if ever, use the word spiritual in my conversations or speeches. It's not me. But I was keen on the fact that she really wanted to advance the proposal that FDR made for an economic bill of rights, universal health care, the right to a job, in fact, at a living wage, the right to a free public education, things like that. So that was pretty much my role. And I mean, some people would say he's crazy, he didn't ask for any money, but seriously, we were in regular contact daily. I did not go on the road with her. I was not out there campaigning with her, but I was her, I would say, her primary ideas advisor for quite some time.
Let me take that one step further. Obviously, Joe Biden is the nominee now for the Democratic Party, and there have been efforts afoot. And I think I know your answer, because I think you told me before we came on the air, Harvey.
Happy to repeat myself.
Dom and I were in Michigan, and we saw this uncommitted voter movement, like 200,000. And there was a real hesitancy to support Joe Biden publicly. Even on the Detroit streets, we went to Cadillac Square. It was hard to get people to say, I'm Joe, and I don't question my support of Joe Biden. And I thought this is a pretty Democratic town. But that uncommitted movement had some real traction in Michigan. And there's this secondary movement here in the state of Wisconsin. I forget what they call it. Basically, it's voting uncommitted. It's an action to say, Joe Biden, I don't support your Gaza policy. That seems to be the underlying premise. And Harvey, you're a Wisconsinite. I know, election day is coming. You've already voted.
I voted today. as my badge here says, I voted. I have to be in New York next week, so I voted today.
So, Harvey, I realize Marianne Williamson ran under the greater Democratic Party tent, but something of a protest against the current incumbent. So what's your attitude when it comes to, you know, protest in the primary and this effort to vote for not Biden?
Okay. Well, I'll start by saying that at no point did I actually believe she could win the nomination. My hope.
I'll be truthful with you, Harvey. Nobody did, but please continue.
But this is important. I did hope that she would garner enough delegates along the way to take her arguments to the convention. But this is the case. I'm going to be very clear about this. It is a tragedy that the Democratic National Committee did everything in their power to keep any kind of inside the party candidate from gaining any kind of traction, because they were blocking people from even getting on the ballot, though she did get on the ballot in quite a few states. And the other thing is that the media clearly took its cues from, and I mean the big cable networks, CNN and MSNBC, took their cues from the DNC. They did not have her on to do town halls when they had other candidates like Nikki Haley on, and Marianne was actually doing better in many places than Nikki Haley was in relation to their respective candidates who were, you know, likely to win the nomination. So here's the thing. So having said that, it is the case that I would not have worked with her and supported her if she had run as an independent or third party candidate. I would not have done so. As I told you before, back in 1980, I voted for Barry Commoner, who was a renowned anti-nuclear activist and environmental activist. He ran under the rubric, it was the Citizens Party, as I recall. And I afterwards, I decided that I had wasted my vote. I mean, as a historian, I think it's the case that, number one, we live in a two-party system for better or worse, and that's the place where you have to do your work. A lot of people are going to disagree with me. The RFK people will disagree with me. The Cornel West people will disagree with me, but you've got to do it inside the party, is my thinking. Not that the party is sacred. It's that that's the vehicle for political action and political change. Of course, the problem is that the Democratic Party is not controlled, dominated, strongly influenced enough, I believe, by progressives. But my position is no third parties, no independent candidates at the presidential level. We go inside the party. And if we can't win enough inside the party, the problem isn't merely the party and all the money and power that it possesses. The problem is also perhaps in our message and our way of getting the message out. That's my view. I may be naive, but that is it.
Dr. Harvey K., my fine guest, live via stream. Harvey, I still didn't hear a clear answer. So you vote uncommitted?
I'm sorry. Repeat the question. I do not believe there should. Look, I, this is personal. I voted today. I did not vote uncommitted. I don't think uncommitted is significant enough as a movement to make a difference in Joe Biden and the Democratic Party. I know that they'll say, oh, look, there's already movement by Joe Biden regarding Gaza. That movement is not merely a consequence of this anger that goes uncommitted in the ballot, in the voting booth. It's also a consequence of the humanity that he's probably, look, again, people can accuse him of being naive. Joe Biden does not, I believe, want to support the mass murder of Palestinians. It is the case, however, that there is an alliance with Israel and he remains committed to it. So he is caught. But I do not support uncommitted voting. It's not me. I don't have an argument beyond that, other than the fact that we have to win in November. As Adolf Reed, okay, a renowned Black Marxist scholar, wrote this week in The Nation, or at least in the copy of The Nation that I got, he said that the left, as far left as those of us who think of ourselves as socialists, we must make sure that Trump and MAGA and the fascists do not win, period. And I think that now is the time, as I did back in 2020, when I decided there was no, that Bernie was pulling out, I was going with Biden because I want the Democrats to win.
He is Dr. Harvey Cade, my fine guest. You're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom's going to join us top of the four. You'll get a little crack at Harvey as well. But Harvey, let me turn the attention. You mentioned the third party candidates. CNN actually called me today. We're going to do a little interview on Monday in regards to RFK and the apparent appetite for RFK, at least in the polling here in Wisconsin. I think it's like 16%. And he rolled out his vice presidential candidate, this Shanahan lady, this tech millionaire, multimillionaire. Seems like her only qualification is being very, very rich. And he admires her athleticism, he said. What a strange thing to say about one's co-pilot. But Harvey, what do you think the impact, will this have a Ross Perot-like effect on any of the swing states, including Wisconsin, the one I care about most? Could this put a wrench in the works?
Look, I'm not a pollster, so I can't project the outcome. But yeah, it could have that kind of effect, the Ross Perot effect. But I can tell you as well, this is interesting. He's going to pull votes from the Trump following as well. I think Biden might have a little more to worry about than Trump in those terms, but Trump will lose votes to RFK as well. If indeed Trump survives till November and Biden survives till November, I mean, we're talking about two rather elderly men whose lives are challenged in many ways right now. So I'm not even sure who the candidates will be, but right now I'm going to be voting for Biden. I'll be clear about it. And in a million years, I wouldn't touch Trump, and nor would I touch RFK.
But we know Harvey K here in the state of Wisconsin, we saw, who was it? Gary Johnson garnered 131,000 votes in 2016. I believe somewhere north of 100,000. Jill Stein got 31,000, which was approximately the margin of loss. And I know that Hillary Clinton was not the most popular Democratic nominee of all time. She had lost the primary here in the state of Wisconsin. I'm not trying to relitigate all the rights and wrongs of that campaign, but the margin of loss was certainly affected by the third parties, at least in the state of Wisconsin. Harvey, it's not just RFK Jr. It could be Jill Stein. It could be a number of third party candidates. Do you think Wisconsin's electorate, at least those of us that don't want fascism, don't want Trump again, don't want MAGA, do you think they've learned a lesson from 2016?
I hope so. Let's hope that Joe Biden has learned a lesson from those experiences. That let's hope that Joe Biden does not fail to figure out, look, he's got Bernie's support. He has AOC's support. He ought to talk to them seriously, not only about, you know, I appreciate your support. He ought to talk about what it is that he can do between now and November, no, sooner, you can't wait till November, between now and August to make sure that Americans realize that he has a vision. But let me make something clear. I'm voting for Biden because I don't want Trump, okay? I have serious reservations. I've always had serious reservations about Joe Biden. Can he overcome the reservations that people have about him, which are now multiplied by in terms of age and in terms of Gaza? My concern has been that he is not really progressive enough on questions of health care and related social policy matters.
He is Dr. Harvey K. We're going to keep him around. We're going to let Dom say hi to Harvey at 4 o'clock. But Harvey, I want to ask you, you know, you got some politicking going on in your backyard. Mike Gallagher, he's out spending more time with family or perhaps cashing some lobbyist checks. We'll see. And I know you're traveling next week, but former president, Cheeto Messiah, Donald Trump coming to your backyard, Green Bay, Wisconsin. Harvey, I want to get to your take. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. Harvey co-deviling for a bit. Dom coming soon. You could always join 844-967-2789. The Hump Day Edition. I hope you're enjoying it so far. It's only going to get better.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show.
Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Wednesday edition. Dr. Harvey K., my fine guest, Professor Emeritus, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, Packer fan, friend of ours. Appreciate you sticking around, Harvey. Can't wait till Dom joins the conversation in about 10 minutes. But I want to, kind of be selfish here for a bit longer. Harvey, Mike Gallagher, the congressman, your congressman, right? Gallagher represents you.
I didn't vote for him.
I didn't say you did, Harvey, but he is the congressman from the 8th. You live in the 8th, right, buddy?
Yes. Continue, because I have a whole series of answers to what I think may be your question.
Well, here's the question. Now, Gallagher's getting out, and last couple of steps he took. A, he voted against impeaching the Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. And B, he rolled out this big TikTok ban, and they said, now I'm getting out of Dodge, but not until after the statutory date that would trigger a special election. So Harvey, it seems to me, although I'm no big fan of Mike Gallagher, a rising Republican star is quitting the sport, and B, he's doing so with the most harm to his own party, Harvey.
Gotta love that. You gotta love that. I mean, it is fascinating because I can tell you all the way through my wife still believes that writing to your congressman matters. And she wrote to him a number of times, most especially when he voted to end Obamacare. Am I not mistaken? He was part of that.
Well, I'm sure he would have been down. I mean, he was 95% down for the MAGA ticket and everything else.
Yeah.
The only part he wasn't down was the violence he was targeted with, as many of the Congress people were on January 6th. Other than that specific I am endangered issue, Harvey, I didn't see a lot of courage out of this guy.
No, absolutely. Exactly. Exactly. In fact, it's been surprising these last number of months. Okay. Now, did he have an awakening? Did he become woke regarding the Constitution? I don't know. He's a pretty smart guy. He's got a PhD in strategic studies out of Georgetown, I believe. I mean, I don't doubt his intellect at all. But I do doubt his political judgment. But here's the interesting thing. Let's put it in a narrative so people understand this. I was convinced. Were you not convinced that he had higher political aspirations?
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised he didn't run for Senate against Tammy Baldwin this term.
Right. I thought he was going to run for governor. Then I thought he was going to run for Senate. And now he's literally brought an end to his political career unless something revolutionary happens to the Republican Party and they actually become conservative instead of utterly reactionary and fascist again. So it's amazing to me that he literally cuts off his political career. Now, it also means he's not going to be working for Fox News, I assume. Okay. So that's not the where he's going. Have you heard any rumors as to what his career?
Oh, I'm sure he's going to get paid, Harvey, young family at home. I'm sure he'll spend a little time at the Little League. But quite frankly, I think this is him running away from the MAGA agenda. I don't see how you would say it's anything but.
That's what it looks like. Then that in itself is rather amazing. It's so hard to know. I will tell you, it's funny. I didn't mention this to you on any time we spoke before. I'm not going to name names or what group, but a major organization director called me to ask if I might be interested in running for Congress. Okay. for the seat here. And I laughed and I said, no way. Okay. But there were people I would like to see do it, though. I can't imagine at this late moment they would do so.
Well, you know, I've got a few insights, Harvey. I got a few birds telling me we're going to be very happy about a week from now. You know, towards the end of next week, there'll be, you know, new blood in the water. But let's talk about the Republicans, the known knowns, the known evils, I would say. Harvey, Andre Jacques, and I don't know how close you watch the state politics here in Wisconsin, but
not
Andre
Jacques
is particularly unsavory. I mean, this guy moved from the assembly up to the state Senate, but A, he wrote a letter to the vice president on January 5th, asking him to basically set aside the will of Wisconsin voters. The guy got COVID, nearly died from it. He's still anti-vaccine, and he is one of the most rabid anti-abortionists in the state of Wisconsin. Harvey, him and Roger Roth are your options on the Republican side, and I think there are some candidates that, you know, would certainly have a path. And I know that this will be a red district, but I hear it bantered about Dr. Kristen Lierley, an OBGYN, and this issue of abortion certainly on the ballot still, Harvey. You put an anti-abortion guy like Andre Jacques, and this is just Crudy projecting at this moment, but you put Dr. Kristen Lierley against Andre Jacques, I like her chances.
I think you're right. You know, once upon a time, and this was when I arrived in Green Bay 45 years ago. This was a predominantly, if not overwhelmingly, Catholic part of the state. And the fact is that Catholics generally, you know, opposed abortion. But this is 45 years later. And I can imagine Lierley doing quite well on the grounds that women's right to choose is paramount.
Well, it was instructional, perhaps, that race in Alabama last night. There was a state-level special election, and the Democratic candidate won in Alabama, running on pro-women's reproductive rights and stripping their stupid in vitro fertilization ruling off the books through legislation. But Harvey Cave, my good friend and fine guest, let me ask you, I know you're leaving town, but Donald Trump's coming to Green Bay. I understand he still owes the community some money from the last couple times he came. But Harvey, why Green Bay, Wisconsin? Why is Trump coming? He hasn't been to Wisconsin since 2022, but he's coming now. What do you think?
Okay, let's recall. In 2016, he won Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. That's what gave him the victory in the Electoral College. Okay, why did he do that? Because the folks of Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin were absolutely angry and outraged at the Democratic Party, because the Democratic Party under Bill Clinton enacted NAFTA, and they were not about to forgive a Clinton so readily, amongst other reasons. So seriously speaking, he sees Wisconsin as ripe. As I saw the polls these last several months, Pennsylvania and Michigan are dangerous for the Democrats. Wisconsin was more likely to go Democratic than were Pennsylvania and Michigan at the presidential level. So he's read it. He's going to visit Wisconsin a lot. And I know we're running out of time, or I'd mentioned to you a story from back in 2016.
Well, maybe there'll be time once Dom joins. Dr. Harvey Kay, he's sticking around for the happy hour. I hope you do as well. More Devil's Advocates, more Dr. Harvey Kay and Dom right here. I'm coming
home today. Whether you're hanging out on State Street or hanging out on the lakes, thanks for listening. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
P. Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
You're listening to Mad Radio.
WMDX 1580 AM Columbus. W224 EG Madison.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The U.S. says Israel's prime minister has agreed to reschedule a delegation visit to the White House. State Department spokesperson.